First of all, I want to thank the Lord for being so faithful to me. I want to thank each one of you that have supported us during this time and supported with prayer and encouragement. And it's been an experience that I will add to all of my other experiences of the past where God has come and met me. And I cannot thank him enough for his goodness and his mercy and his compassion. So I want to say that this morning. During the sickness, the Lord has directed my thoughts and stirred my spirit and has laid a burden on my heart. And I think that when you know the direction and the title, it may not sound very encouraging. I trust and I've been praying that the Lord will cause the words to sink deep into our hearts and our minds, and that you can hold on to the things that are going to be said to the last message. This probably will take more than two or three messages to complete, but I believe the Lord has an ultimate message for us in the end. So I'm going to encourage us all to draw your mind in. If it sounds negative, if it doesn't sound very inspiring, that you will seek the Lord to inspire it to you personally. I'm doing the same for myself. Our subject is on martyrdom. Martyrdom is not a popular thought. In our country, we have not witnessed martyrdom. Martyrdom is prevalent, has been prevalent down through the Word of God, down through church history. It's not a new thing. I'm thinking of the definition for a martyr, which it fits our burden for these messages. And a martyr is one who submits to death rather than renounce the cause of Christ. A martyr is one that is tortured or persecuted for the cause of Christ. We have been such a privileged people. We have been such a spoiled people. We've really not suffered like what we read of the martyrs of history. And yet, in all of this that the Spirit of the Lord has been dealing with me, it caused me to cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, how can I stand by the martyrs in eternity? And I began to pray and seek the Lord to show me. And I believe that he has done that. I believe there is a way for you and me to stand beside the martyrs in eternity. There is a little thought that I'm going to probably use more than once. And it says, it is imperative today for all professing Christians to walk in the old paths of God's word, and to continue to proclaim the old truth that glorifies Jesus Christ. We also have a scripture we want to start with in Revelations, the 6th chapter, starting at verse 8. And it says, "And I looked, and behold," I'm sorry, verse 9. "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?' And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." That may not sound very encouraging, but I believe that God is calling for us to have the mindset of a martyr. And hopefully by the end of the messages, we can understand what that mindset is, how we should be thinking and feeling and consecrating. There is one more scripture, and I may use some of these scriptures more than once. And it's from Psalms 107, verses 2 through 8, parts of those verses. It says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered them out of the lands. They found no city to dwell in, but he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation." As I have read and studied and meditated upon this subject and discovered probably a little bit more than what I have in the past. In the past, I couldn't bear to read or hear read Fox's Book of Martyrs. I couldn't bear it. And yet it is a part of history. And those people are counted as the ones that are that we read there in Revelations. Under the altar, the souls of them that were slain for the word of God. God has permitted you and me to live in a time that our nation is just, we've been a blessed nation. We have, even our forefathers had good lives in this nation. Oftentimes we've come to service and maybe somebody will even say, "Well, we thank the Lord for the freedom that we have to come and worship the Lord. We're not living in fear of the police coming to our services and arresting us and taking us away." How many times have we heard that said down through the years in our service? And I think that we need to count it a great blessing, the freedoms that we have had. It has sometimes been said that the only thing that does hold back martyrdom in our nation right now is the laws of our land. Our laws of our land has been such that it gave liberty to people to worship the Lord in however they chose. whether it was right or wrong, you still had the liberty. And we count it a great privilege and a great blessing that we haven't had to face the terrors and the dangers and the life-threatening tortures of those that have gone before us. So this morning, we want to look into the Word of God and consider those that became martyrs in the New Testament. We count that Christ was the first true martyr. We might not ever really call Christ a martyr, but he gave his life. We're very familiar with the death on the cross. We're familiar with what he felt before he went to the cross. We know from the scene of the Garden of Gethsemane that his flesh was really struggling because he knew what he faced. He knew the torture and the pain and the suffering, and he knew the death. The scripture gives us a little description of what he felt in his humanity. The scripture says that he had sweat that came down as great drops of blood. We would call that adrenaline, maybe. Maybe when you and I face sudden dangers, even now, maybe we feel that adrenaline of fear. Christ had it to a degree that you and I will probably never know. And yet, he did it for you. And he did it for me. And he counted the cost. And he chose. And he paid the price. The scripture even says that he was in agony. Now, I can't hardly imagine standing before a firing squad when in just one moment my life could be taken and that would be the end of it. No suffering. I can't imagine that. And yet he suffered intense suffering of his mind and his body. And the scripture says that he struggled. He prayed 3 times. He wanted the cup to be taken from him. But ultimately he would say, "Not my will, but thy will be done." So Christ really became a martyr for the cause of God in the earth, for the plan of God to be carried out, for the prophecies to be carried out. I'm thinking of how that he could have escaped. As he was being arrested, this is what it was, what he said. He said, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall once give me more than 12 legions of angels to," and I'm going to say, "avenge him?" You know how many 12 legions? It was 80,000. He had the privilege that he could have escaped. The martyrs that have suffered death and torture and all down through the ages of history, they also have an opportunity to escape. It would be their choice not to escape. It was Christ's choice not to escape. But he said at the same time, if I did that, how would the scriptures come true? So Christ did it for you and me. He gave his life. He gave much more than just his life. I want us to keep it in our minds that the very foundation of the gospel includes far more than the saving of our souls, than the even the sanctifying of our spirits. It includes divine healing. If you've listened to Brother Austis's messages that I've been encouraging us to get a hold of on divine healing, according to the Word of God, divine healing is a part of the atonement. The price was paid. And you and I cannot even fathom the suffering that Jesus went through when they were laying those stripes upon his back, tearing his flesh, and the blood came out. It was a long time before the Lord was able to open up my mind and my understanding and give me a vision that there was a fountain of blood that was opened when he bore those stripes for you and me to have healing in our body, to have suffering. Jesus said to his disciples, he says it to us today, the servant is not greater than his Lord. He said that if ye suffer with me, ye shall also reign with me. And you and I are most likely not going to suffer that kind of torture and pain. But God's calling for us to have grace that we may suffer physically and trust him. Rely upon him. Lord, help us. So Jesus also said, he said, no man takes my life. I lay it down. That is the mindset of the martyrs through the ages of time. Those that chose to be a Christian, those that chose to follow Christ, to name the name of Jesus, to believe that he was crucified for them, he died, he rose again, he is sitting at the right hand of the Father, he is making intercessions for them. Those that chose that, they chose to lay down their life. No man could take it, but they chose to give it. And so it is, Jesus also said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Well, Christ said those words, and he laid down his life, and he said, you are my friends. So this death and suffering that Christ went through became the foundation of whether people would believe it. It was a story that was expounded and preached and told. It was the foundation of the gospel that went forth. I think about the disciples. The disciples were weak men. They were just common men, but yet chosen of God. And they made proclamations that they would die with him and that they would never deny him. And we know the account. We know that they all fled the night Jesus was arrested. They were fearful men. They were afraid of giving their life. They weren't ready to give their life. But as time went on and Christ was risen and walked with them and gave them instructions that they were to tarry at Jerusalem. And I want to say this. There is a great secret in what he told them to do, that you and I need to do the same, to be able to have the power to face whatever God allows to come into our life. But he told the disciples, you tarry until you are endued with power from on high. And that happened. The Holy Spirit came upon them, and Father and the Lord filled them with the power of the Holy Ghost. And they went out from that place. They were changed men. They spoke boldly in the name of Christ, under the threat of death themselves and imprisonment. And they were commanded not to speak in the name of Jesus. And yet they did it fearlessly and boldly. They now had a power that the common fishermen did not have before. There is a secret here. We don't know the future. Oh, we've heard that before. And I'm not proclaiming any kind of prediction. But I am proclaiming one thing. We may not know what we have to suffer physically. We may not know what afflictions might come on our bodies. We may not know the trials and the tests that may come. May not have a threat of martyrdom as these were. But we may have to endure some things. And it takes the power of God to be able to help you and me overcome. The scripture says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. That particular scripture goes on and says, and they loved not their lives unto death. Did you know that you can love your life more than death right now? The scripture also says that he that saveth his life will lose it. It says he that will lose his life will save it. That's the mind of the martyr. Those in history had to have that in their minds. They had to be convinced that there was a life after this life. They were convinced of heaven. They were convinced of life eternal. They were convinced of a reward that was awaiting for them. Don't you know the scripture says that you and I need a vision? The martyrs had a vision, and you and I must have a vision. That if we die trusting God, there's a reward. We must believe that God is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Thank the Lord. Well, as we look at the apostles, and we are all familiar with their tortures, their sufferings, and yet they were bold for Christ. They never went back. They never looked back. They were charged that they would go into all of the world and preach the gospel. And they all did it at the price of their life except for John. Each one of the apostles, the history tells, they gave their life for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the word of God, for the sake of telling people how to be saved. There was always, has always been and opposing to anything that had to do with God. It started in the garden. It started with the very spirit of Satan trying to destroy souls, cause them to sin and be separated from God. And we have the battle all down through the ages of time. Satan had great power over other kingdoms of the world, great influence, and he was always trying to stamp out Christianity or salvation or the plan of God, whatever you want to call it. He was an opposer of it down through all of the church and the history of the church. So we think about the disciples. They all became martyrs. We think then about Saul of Tarsus. He was one that opposed Christianity. He hated the Christians. He stood by and witnessed a martyr, Stephen, being slain for the sake of the word of God and the gospel of Christ. He put his approval upon it. At the time that he was on the road to Damascus, we know this, he was going with the intent of arresting, persecuting, possibly killing other Christians, those that had believed the report, those that had chosen to follow Christ. The church was in a great time of trouble at that time. And yet God, in his great mercy, struck Saul to the ground and said, "Why do you persecute me?" And he found out who Christ was in a moment. And in a moment, it also changed his life. He no longer was willing to persecute the Christians. He became a Christian. He became a vessel that was used of God to go and spread the news of the good report. And he suffered. He was stoned and left for dead. He tells in the word how many times he was beat. Remember the time that he and Paul and Silas had been torturously whipped and placed in stocks in a prison. Oh, I want to tell you, this can be the mind of the martyr. While they were in the prison, they sang. Oh, it's hard to sing in suffering. But they sang unto the Lord, and the Lord opened the prison. And the jailer received Christ. And they were free for a while. And yet they were hated. Paul was so hated by the Jews because he told them the truth. Peter told them the truth. "You crucified the Son of God." And that enraged them and caused retaliations. And ultimately it came down that Paul went to Rome and was imprisoned there for a time. But it was while he was there that he wrote all of the letters, the Roman letters. His testimony the gospel was put on paper, and it didn't stop even when his mouth was stopped. Paul gave his life. He was a martyr for Christ. But we look back just a little before, and we see John the Baptist also, the forerunner of Christ, proclaiming it, baptizing. And then Jesus came to be baptized. And he said, I'm not worthy to do that. I need to be baptized of you. He was convinced. And yet there came a point that he was arrested. And he was put in prison. And his life was on the line. And he wanted to know for sure, are you the Christ? And Jesus sent him a message to comfort him in his last hours. He gave his life. Lord, help us that we can have the mindset of the martyrs. Let me look here. I want to turn and read a scripture in 2 Timothy. I'm not going to be able to complete the thought of the martyrs. But in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, I want to read verses 6 through 8. This is going back to Paul. Paul, knowing that he's facing the loss of his own life. And I'm going to call this again the mindset of the martyrs. He says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not only to me only, but unto all of them that love his appearing. That's the mindset. We need the mindset that we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. If we have a strong love for Christ, if we have a strong love for what he did for us, if we have a strong love for the Word of God, the power of Christ can rest upon us, whatever we face. And again, I'm not even saying we're going to face what they faced. I believe we have a different time. But Paul was ready. And you and I can be ready. We can begin to seek the Lord, no doubt. No doubt he prayed. It doesn't say this in the Bible. We actually don't know about every martyr, what they went through, what they felt, their emotions, the prayers that they prayed before they faced their end. But you and I can be praying now. We can be seeking the Lord now. Lord, let the power of Christ rest upon me. Help me throughout my sickness. I battled imaginations. And what have I said to you? The Lord spoke it to me a number of years ago. There is no grace for imaginations. Sarah had to keep reminding me of that. The enemy wants you and me to have imaginations. It hinders our resolve. It hinders our confidence. It hinders our faith. So remember, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of Christ. So as we bring this little message to a close this morning, it's just an introduction to the burden that we have. I truly believe that the Lord can help you and me in this life to be able to stand in the next life, next to those who gave their lives for the sake of the gospel. This is ultimately my burden. And I believe that God can open it up to each one of us. Don't reject or don't be, I don't want to hear about the martyrs. I don't want to hear what, no, we need to know what they went through, the price they paid. And we need to be willing also to lay down our lives for the sake of the gospel.